RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Midwest correspondent is Carrie Cox of TravelsWithBirdie.com. Carrie is a librarian and passionate reader, writer, and photographer who loves to travel in her Jayco travel trailer, a.k.a. Birdie. After only spending a few short weekends in Birdie, Carrie and her family decided to take an epic road trip from Missouri to Yosemite National Park. Her blog posts were nothing short of stunning. And now this summer, Carrie decided to take Birdie to Yellowstone and beyond. So welcome to the show, Carrie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome back. Last time on episode number 30, you told us all about Tall Pines Campground in Branson, Missouri. Where are we headed to this week?
I am taking you to a great base camp for exploring America's first national park. We are headed to Grizzly RV in West Yellowstone, Montana.
All right, now picking the perfect campground for a bucket list trip to Yellowstone is no easy feat. So this is a really important campground of the week, and we can't wait to hear what you have to say. But first, we want to thank Progressive Insurance. When you sign up for an RV policy, you can also sign up for total loss replacement, an optional protection that replaces your new RV with a current model if it's declared a total loss in the first 2 years. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info. All right, Carrie, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Now, location is everything when you're choosing a campground for Yellowstone. So sort of situate us and explain why you chose this location for your campground.
Right. So Yellowstone has 5 entrances, and it's a huge park, and you want to pick a good base camp that's going to get you to the sites you want to see. We decided we wanted to sit on the west side of the park, close to the Grand Loop, which has lots of great things to see. So if you imagine Yellowstone as a postage stamp-shaped rectangle, the town of West Yellowstone sits on the west side of the park, about in the center of the north-south border. So you are a few minutes from the park gate. And the nice thing about Yellowstone is once you're in that park gate, you just start seeing lots of cool stuff. So last summer when we went to California, we went to a lot of parks where you kind of had 30 minutes or so to go once you got in the park gate. But at Yellowstone, if you come in on the west side, you're right there.
Now, and that's true of the west side. Do you think that's true of the other entrances, or is this gate particularly well suited for just diving in and starting your Yellowstone adventure?
This is one of the most popular gates. The north gate is also really popular because it takes you right into the Mammoth Hot Springs area. The other locations are a little farther. They're gonna take you probably an hour almost to get across the park to get to some of the sites, unless you hit a Buffalo Jam, and then it might take even longer. So we stayed in Cody before we went to Yellowstone, and we got to come in through the east entrance, and it was just beautiful, beautiful mountain range through there. But we wouldn't have wanted to drive that every day because it was pretty far.
All right, great. What type of campground is this? Is it Good Sam? Is it totally independent? Does it have any discounts or affiliations?
It's a private park, and it does have a Good Sam discount.
Okay, so you can get your 10% off here. Excellent. All right, what is the size of this campground? About how many sites? Is it a big park, a small park, a little park?
This is huge. I think there were around 300 campsites. but it doesn't really feel that huge or crowded. They're kind of nicely segmented out, and everything is just really nicely spaced and meticulously maintained. So I'm weirdly a fan of parallel spots, and the spots are all nicely lined up. And so even though you're in this huge park, there's trees, even though you're not, you know, in the woods, there's some trees, it's all lined up nice, and it just feels really tidy.
Now, you know, this is a huge destination for, you know, for the American tourist. So I would expect that prices would reflect that. You know, how did you feel like the price point, you know, what's the price point at this campground?
They are $60 to $75 a night, depending on the length and the amenities that you get. We had a site on the lower end of that because we selected a back-end site, and we didn't need some of the other amenities that came with the more expensive spots. The main thing is you need to book early. We, I think, actually had sent in an email asking for our reservation before the park was even open in the spring. Yellowstone, that area, it takes a while to thaw, so these parks aren't open in the winter. You kind of have to sit on your hands and then be ready to make your reservations. But allow plenty of nights when you first book. The lady who was checking us in, when she saw that we were there for 5 nights, she said, "Oh, good, you're going to have a good amount of time." She said, "So often people only book 2 or 3 nights, and they realize pretty quickly that's not enough time to see Yellowstone, and they want to add nights. And this is not a park where you can add nights because it's going to be full through that summer season with Yellowstone visitors."
Going back to reservations for 1 second. So you made your reservations right in the early spring when they opened?
I did.
Now, can you make them the year before in the fall, or aren't you sure about that?
I think it was this one that had a date where they opened up the reservations. I could be thinking of Rafter J-Bar, another one that we really liked, that they actually announced their opening date. So I don't know on that, but definitely we were fine when we did it, you know, right when they opened. I think you're going to be fine as long as you do it a couple months out.
Okay, great. Just a tip for our listeners. I think sometimes you want to try and make those reservations in the fall if you can, because once the campground closes mm-hmm. for the winter, you're not going to be able to make them for 3 or 4 months.
That's right. Yeah. So we didn't really even think about it closing, you know, because we hadn't stayed at very many places that closed up shop. And I sent my reservation email, didn't hear back from them. And then I looked on the website. I was like, oh, they're not even open. But once they opened up, they shot me an email back and put me in the system.
So you had to have a little bit of faith there.
I did.
All right. That's good. Yeah, well, you got
Zen. They probably were processing those emails in order. So it
yeah,
may have
that's
mattered
what I was gonna
that
say.
You got that email in mm-hmm. early. So you might want to get that email in as soon as you know you want to go.
Right. And they're pretty, it looked like they had a reasonable cancellation policy. It wasn't like, you know, some of the places want to keep like half of your total, total stay cost, blah, blah, blah. This looked like you probably would have lost some money if you have to change those, but you're going to be pretty okay.
All right. So you mentioned that you had a back end. You mentioned the parallel sites, but let's dive a little bit deeper into site details. So, if this is a large campground, do you want to just kind of describe how it's situated and the different kinds of options you have for sites?
Sure. Most of the sites are the parallel pull-throughs. There's different lengths of those, which is some of the differences in the cost. So most of your fifth wheels and motorhomes are going to be in these parallel spots, kind of more out in the middle of the park. And the park has planted trees there that have grown pretty decent size, so they'll give you some shade. So they're not, but they're not, you know, huge sites with big trees or anything. But they're just, again, really nice, really tidy. You have your tree, you have your small patch of grass. But the site that we picked, since we're a little bit of a smaller rig, we picked one of the back-ends. These back-ends line the edge of the park, and the park is surrounded by national forest. So out behind your spot is just open woods, and we sat our chairs out back and we could sit and look into the woods. There's a dog walk along the woods, or you can just, you know, go wander off into them. So I think that really kind of added to the scenery, since the main part of the park itself wasn't particularly scenic. You do have this edge with the national forest that is.
I think I remember a really pretty picture of this site on your Instagram account. Did you take a photo of your site here? Okay. I think it was like a very nice looking site. I remember the woods behind the camper.
Yeah. So they're not big, but again, they're just It was nice. It was comfortable. You had room for your awning. You had a picnic area. And then you had that nice view out back. And I think even in the other sites without the view, you're going to be happy. And the main thing is you're really actually not in the campground all that much because you're in Yellowstone. So you're going to be in there a little bit, but not a lot.
All right. So what other kinds of accommodations are there? Were there tent sites and cabins here?
There are. They have some really cute looking cabins. And then they do have some tent sites. The tent sites are right by the camp store, so they're kind of out in the middle of a busy area where you're going to have a lot of traffic, both vehicle traffic and then foot traffic of people going in and out of the laundry room and then the restrooms that are there in the camp store. So probably if you're a tenter, this might not be where you'd want to stay if you're wanting, you know, that great outdoors experience. But maybe if you're a nervous tenter, you know, who doesn't want bears or whatever,
you don't want too much outdoors.
Yeah. So that was the only area that was a little louder in the park because there's a group there that was tent camping and they were having some fun. But the rest of the park was really pretty quiet.
Now, we're really big proponents of picking the right park for, or the right campground for where you are going, your destination. Let's talk a little bit about amenities. Like you mentioned, most people are just headed into the park all day. So are there a lot of kind of bells and whistles here?
Not a lot. I mean, there's a really nice playground that has a spinning tire swing. So that was kind of unique. You don't see that everywhere. And there was always kids spinning that thing around, having some good times. But there's not a pool. The weather's kind of, like I mentioned on the other podcast, on the RVFTA podcast, the weather's kind of iffy in Yellowstone, so you're going to have some really cold nights. So they probably wouldn't have a lot of luck with an outdoor pool. And then they do have a nice camp store with some cute camper items, kind of boutique items that you don't see everywhere. And then it's walking distance to some really cool places in West Yellowstone.
Did they sell Huckleberry ice cream?
They did not. There was no ice cream here, but virtually right across the street, you could walk to the Huckleberry ice cream.
Okay, so it sounds to me like you're going to explain a little more later on about why the location of this campground was so ideal to you. Because, yes, it's within close distance of Yellowstone National Park, but if you can walk to a little downtown, that's like a bonus.
That's right. And then the other thing that people like to do in the park, since the roads were really nice and paved and really wide, this is one of those great parks for kids to ride their bikes in. They could easily get around. And with all of these little roads going through the pull-through sites, there is lots of room for them to kind of zip around and have some fun. So that's kind of an amenity that you don't think of as an amenity that
Enjoying. Because when we have our boys do our things all day, you know, it's not like they don't enjoy themselves, but when we're taking them on big hikes and everything, there is nothing that they like more than biking endless loops around a campground in the afternoon. So it makes a big deal to a lot of parents to have that.
Yes. So you could go endlessly practically around all these loops.
Now, Carrie, I know that you are a big fan of sort of rating the shower house situation. Do you want to weigh in on that?
They had very nice shower houses and they had several of them. So that's kind of the nice thing. Since this is a huge park, you're not all funneling into one shower house. There's several and they're scattered throughout the park. And there is even multiple laundry facilities. So one night everybody had the same great idea to do laundry and the laundry facility was packed and we could go to a different one. In fact, actually all of them were packed and we ended up going to the laundromat in town. But if it wasn't a crazy time when everybody was doing their laundry, it would have been sufficient.
Now, I imagine there were not really scheduled activities at a campground this close to Yellowstone National Park. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So give us insider details. What do our listeners need to know? What extra edge can you give them when reserving a site here?
So a couple of things. With the Wi-Fi, I kind of had thought since we were in a town that we'd have good Wi-Fi, but we were out on the edge, and so even though we had a prettier site, we didn't really pick up good Wi-Fi. And with a standard site, you actually only get 2 Wi-Fi passwords per site, and they pretty much only work on computers. It seems like the phones or something didn't work with those. So someone in town told us, we ended up talking to some locals, and they told us that Ernie's Bakery has their Wi-Fi on after hours. So we figured it was okay. We weren't, you know, taking the Wi-Fi from anybody who was using it because the restaurant was closed. So we sat in their parking lot one night, did some of our Wi-Fi. So that was a great insider tip. We didn't get to eat at Bernie's because they were only, or Ernie's, because they were only open in the morning, and we're not morning people. We weren't out and about and there in time before we headed into the park. But shout out to Ernie's Bakery for awesome Wi-Fi. And then our other insider tip is the store has good free coffee and cappuccino in the morning. So our kids enjoyed that, that they could walk over and feel like grown-ups and get their
He loves free coffee.
We were looking at a campground in Nova Scotia, and I was like, Steph, they have free coffee in the morning, and everyone says it's really good. And she's like, it's Nova Scotia. We're not going to pick a campground based on free coffee.
I know. We were at one campground where they had actual liquid half and half, you know? And I was like, look, this is like real half and half. You know, that's several steps above the
That's fancy.
It makes a difference. So I don't remember if Grizzly had real half and half, but the cappuccino machine was pretty cool.
Free coffee in the morning means it's a friendly campground where the owners and the managers like to be social with their guests. And that's why I love it. It's not just selfishly about the coffee.
It does tend to create a little bit of a community kind of environment in the camp store. So you're absolutely right. It speaks more to the atmosphere kind of than the actual like pocketbook, I think.
Now, even though they give you free coffee, we know that nobody's perfect.
You know, it's kind of hard to find something to improve here. This is a pretty top class campground. An indoor pool would be awesome. I mean, that would really, like, you would rock out if you could go home from a long day in Yellowstone and have an indoor pool so you didn't have to worry about the elements. But I understand you can't just, you know, throw up an indoor pool.
Would you be willing to pay $85.90 a night for that? Seriously. I mean, would you be willing to pay more? I would.
You know, in most of our road trips, we try to structure it where we know we have some more expensive campgrounds, and then sometimes we're at cheaper campgrounds, and so you just kind of have to structure that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that sort of special place where you can kind of do the flip side after doing that really outdoorsy kind of a thing can be really special for families.
I love that. When we went from the National Park campground this summer to the Yogi Bear, it was such a nice transition being in the heated pool after being in the more stripped down basic. I just love that. Tell anybody out there, plan a trip that way. Go to something simple, something basic, a state park, and then hit up a resort campground.
Yes. And one last thing about the environment here, when you were talking about creating that community, this place had the nicest workers and the happiest workers I have ever seen. So these work campers, it was kind of cool because they wore name tags that had their home state on them. And you could tell that they were, you know, work camping. And they were just so excited to tell you about Yellowstone, tell you about the park there, tell you about anywhere around there in town. So shout out to Grizzly for really having good people manning the desk.
So important, maybe the most important a lot of the time, because that really can they help you deal with any other bumps in the road.
If everyone's friendly and nice, the place could be a rundown dump, and I'm going to have a great time. I mean that. I really would.
It's true. All right. So, Carrie, thank you for that amazing review of Yellowstone Grizzly in West Yellowstone. It is no small feat to pick your campground when you are doing a bucket list trip like this. And, you know, it is so wonderful to hear that kind of review that is just a glowing recommendation for this place outside of Yellowstone National Park. We are going to be back in a minute to talk about sort of all of the other things you can do around the campground. Stay tuned.
Since 1968, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories together.
Today, Jayco offers everything from camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes, complete with more standard features and a longer, stronger 2-year warranty.
Jayco gives you the value you're looking for and the peace of mind you deserve. Lots of family fun is to be had around a campfire with a Jayco nearby.
For more information, visit your closest Jayco dealer or jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're here with Carrie Cox from TravelsWithBirdie.com, and she just gave us a great review of the Yellowstone Grizzly Campground in Montana, right outside of Yellowstone National Park. And we just want to remind everybody that over on RVFTA, on episode 100, Carrie gave us a complete segment on her tips for planning for Yellowstone, and then a whole other segment on what to do in the park. So these are matching sister episodes. So it's hashtag NPS 100. It's also episode 100 of RVFTA, 100 straight weeks 100. Of podcasting. Unbelievable. So, Carrie, happy thank you 100. So much for that great review of Yellowstone Grizzly. Let's talk a little bit about West Yellowstone, because it seems like you really liked the town there as well.
Yeah, this is a beautiful, small town, very walkable. It's just the kind of place where every evening the town fills up with people coming out of Yellowstone. They're walking around, having a good time, buying some souvenirs, going to the outdoor shops, and having huckleberry ice cream and checking out the restaurants. So,
Carrie, we're going to have to make a drinking game out of huckleberry ice cream if this continues.
So it's really a great place to hang out and use as your base camp for Yellowstone.
All right. So what did you find any special like souvenir outdoor shops that you liked there?
I was just going to ask her, what was your family souvenir? Yeah.
Okay, so I can't remember the name of the place, but the RV park actually will give you a coupon that they say is for this place that's their sister store, and they had a lot of cool stuff. So our kids each got a shirt. One of our sons went to a different shop that did screen printing, and he was he's 11. He's very particular about his style, and a lot of shirts made for kids are really kiddish, you know, and he didn't want a kiddish souvenir shirt. So finding this screen printing store that had all of these different screen prints, and they didn't look kiddish. So he got to pick a kid size shirt with a cool graphic. So I wish I knew the name of that place too. I didn't keep track of those names, but you'll find them.
All right. Town. Yeah. Cool graphic shop. We got it. That's a good check. All right. Now, what about the Yellowstone Historic Center Museum?
This is an old train depot, so it's really a pretty building. And then out front, they had some of the old yellow open-top vehicles that they used to take on tours through Yellowstone. So it's kind of cool to see one of those and to imagine what it would have been like riding in one of those back in the day. And it's a kind of a small museum that's a good introduction to the park. We didn't get to go inside of that because we were in the park so much, but it looked like a nice place and we read some good reviews of it.
So it sounds to me like sometimes what we do is we get to a location after driving all day and we check in and we don't really have enough time to go into the park. But maybe that day you could go there and kind of situate yourself, get yourself a little bit of background knowledge before you go into the park the next day.
That would be a perfect strategy.
All right. Now we're learning from you. All right. What about the Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center?
Okay, this is another place we didn't go to, and I totally wish we would have once I was rereading about it for this segment. This is a non-for-profit animal rescue, so this is not like a zoo where animals are purposely bred in captivity for this purpose. These are animals who have been injured or cubs or pups that were abandoned, and so they take them in. It's a rescue group, and they try to really keep their interactions with humans to the minimal, I guess almost none if they can help it, and keep it a very natural environment. One of the cool things they do there that you can actually see in progress is they do product testing for bear safety to make sure bears can't get into various coolers and stuff. Companies will send their products there and they'll put them in the pen with the bears and see if the bears can get into them and check out the success rate.
This is hilarious. I have to stop you. We have a Cabela's cooler that said it's bear proof and it had some sticker on it that it was tested as bear proof. After we're done recording, I am going to go look at that. I bet you it was tested here.
The very thing that you said was, that's funny. How did they test it to make
like,
sure?
Where on earth did they do bear testing for coolers? Like at Cabela's headquarters?
This is great. Now we know there's places that these companies send their products.
That is hilarious. The park was telling us there's like a time limit, and if it survives, you know, long enough, you know, up to an hour with the bear trying to get into it, then it's bear proof. So it's an actual standard.
Love it. Oh, now I just feel like really good about that sticker.
In the show notes, we need to confirm whether our Cabela's cooler was bear tested at this very facility.
I want to know where it was bear tested. Yeah, we're going to have to do some deep dive journalism on that, you know.
I'm going to walk out into the garage after this is over with a flashlight. That's what she means by deep dive journalism.
Another cool thing about this place that the people at the park told us about is if you have kids, you can schedule this special tour where they get to go in and hide food in the bear enclosure when the bears aren't in there, of course. And the kids get to hide it. And then they are taken out of the enclosure and the bears are let in. And so part of the bears' fun for the day is, you know, scavengering out their food. And so the kids get to come out and then they get to watch the bear and see if it finds their food. And that sounded spectacularly fun as well.
Oh, that is just, see, this sounds like such an amazing place because we tend to go more towards rescues and sort of preserves than zoos as a family. And this really sounds like it helps to, you know, encourage kids learning about nature without changing nature. You know?
That's right. They said that they really emphasize having educational programs where you can learn some bear safety tips. And then it also educates you on the fact that when we are increasing our interactions with these animals by having food out and they get accustomed to having human food and get too used to humans, that puts the bears in bad situations because then they might eventually hurt someone and then they're put down or they get in, you know, in populated areas where they get hit by cars. So it's really a very educational place. And I think when we went, we hadn't done our research enough on that because we'd focused so much on the park. And I just had in my mind that this is one of those places where you pay money and you get to see animals. And I didn't really realize the full scope of what they did there, or else I would have definitely added some time in for that.
That's what return visits are for.
Exactly. Well, also, I want to say, too, that Yellowstone is a leader in terms of a lot of the wolf, you know, research and repopulation. So although I did, you know, this is so good to know now going there, like we would put this at the top of the list. It makes sense that this is there because they've just been a leader in educating the population in general about wolves.
Now, Carrie, you also went to the movies.
We did.
While you were in West Yellowstone.
We finally got to see the National Parks movie. So that was on our list of things we wanted to do. And we don't have one of the big screen IMAXs right in our hometown. So it was one of those things where when we saw that that was playing here in West Yellowstone, we had to go. We were on our NPS 100 trip and we wanted to celebrate our national parks and got to see the National Parks movie. And that was really awesome.
What, it was good? You have a two thumbs up review?
Definitely. It wasn't what I expected. I think having seen the Ken Burns documentary, I went into the National Parks movie thinking it was going to be like that, telling the history of the parks, and it really wasn't. It's kind of a, they focus on this family and their friend, and they tell this about some of the adventures that they have in the parks, and they show you just these really cool things that these people do and show you lots of scenes of lots of different parks and really get you pumped up of, oh, I want to go there. I want to go there next. Oh, let's do that. You know, so it was awesome.
And what was it, like 12 to 15 hours long?
No, unlike Ken Burns, this is an hour.
That's why it probably didn't feel like a normal Ken Burns movie.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about Hebgen or Hebgen Lake.
Yeah, I don't know which way you say it, but we, one evening, we just really wanted to see what was out beyond the West Yellowstone town. And so we took a drive out because we saw on the map that there was a lake out there, and it's a really beautiful lake. It looks like it's a popular area for fly fishing, the river that flows into it. And if you're kind of wanting some nature and Yellowstone is too busy, it's a nice area to get out there at the lake or into the Gallatin National Forest is all around there. So there's ATV trails and hiking trails and lakes and rivers. And so if you've had your fill of Yellowstone and kind of really want some more peaceful interaction with nature, you can find that out beyond West Yellowstone.
All right. Now, Carrie, you have one of my favorite restaurant recommendations that's appeared yet on Campground of the Week. I'm a little surprised to see this as a recommendation for Yellowstone. You want to tell our listeners where they should eat?
Sure. I was looking on Yelp or TripAdvisor and this place came up. And when I saw the picture, I was like, okay, we have to eat there, obviously. So in West Yellowstone, you will find the restaurant Las Palmitas. It's also known as the Taco Bus. So if you can't remember its real name, if you Google Taco Bus West Yellowstone, you will find it. And this school bus has been converted. The wheels are gone, but the door still functions like a real school bus door. So they open and close that door. All the seats are gone from the bus, and it has two nice wood plank benches. And you order at the back of the bus, and they call it out, and you can eat on those benches inside the bus. It's a little crowded when you're eating in there. So if you want a little more space, there's a really nice patio area outside. And so the food was really good. It was so good that I went back by myself. My family, they wanted Subway. And I was like, I am not eating Subway. I'm going back to the taco bus. So
you cannot eat Subway when there's a taco bus there.
You can't.
That's so like against the law.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, normally a person who would totally separate from my family on vacation and go eat dinner by myself. But the taco bus was totally calling to me. I had to have more tacos.
Now we know what gets Carrie to leave her family.
That's right.
A good taco.
And again, I saw a picture of this on Instagram from what I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. And the people are very nice. I asked them, you know, if they stay open through the whole season, you know, because it gets really cold and snowy there. He said, no, they tried that their first year, and the whole town, you know, kind of dies down, obviously, when Yellowstone's, I guess Yellowstone's still open, but when it's covered in snow and 30 below or whatever. So it was just
but
really
then
nice.
That's talk. When you really do want a taco.
Exactly. Yeah, you could tell also this was really popular with all the workers. Yellowstone just has an army of student workers who come from all around the world, all around the United States, and stay in the park. We were talking to some of them. They stay in dorms in the park and help run all the concessions and park stores. And so then in the evening, they're coming out too, looking for awesome places to eat. And so the taco bus, highly recommended by them too.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for that awesome review of Yellowstone Grizzly in West Yellowstone. We now know where we're going to stay when we go to Yellowstone next. We know what we're going to do, and we know where we're going to eat. We're going to eat the taco bus.
And we know what's for dessert.
Yeah, and we exactly.
Hashtag Huckleberry ice cream.
Huckleberry ice cream. We got it. Everything's lined up.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Carrie. And thank you to Jayco for sponsoring Campground of the Week. To view their complete line of RVs, check them out at jayco.com. And thanks so much to Progressive Insurance.
Yeah, you all know we're playing our Where is Flo contest over on Instagram this summer. So go over to at RV Family Travel Atlas on Instagram. And every week we post a picture of Flo at one of her road trip destinations around the U.S. She was at Yellowstone looking at that Old Faithful geyser a few weeks back. So
she
you don't know.
She stayed at the Yellowstone Inn. She had a big comfy bed.
You don't know where she's going to be this week. You have to stay tuned. So then when you see the picture pop up on Instagram, you guess where she is. You tag a friend and you're entered into our contest if you guess the right location to win some fun Progressive swag. All right, Carrie, thanks again. We can't wait to see you at the campground.
That's right. Hope to see
you. Thanks, Carrie. See you at the campground.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.